Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Good morning. Today, you have the budget of the third of the four advocacy commissions, the Commission on Black Affairs. And I prepared the following materials to assist you in your public hearing this morning. There is, if you open up your viewing binder from the commission, in the front, there is the memo that I've been preparing for each of these, which includes some financial data attached to it as well. Also, I've redistributed to you this advocacy commission handout. And again, if you go to the back there, attached to that, there is the LFO analysis of the commission, which goes into more detail than the letter. But I'll leave that for you as reference material. I'd just like to start off by briefly discussing this commission and its budget. The Commission on Black Affairs operates in a very similar manner to the other advocacy commissions, which is to say they have one position that's available, an executive director position. They are charged in statute with working for the implementation and establishment of economic, social, legal, and political equality for blacks in Oregon. And they have a number of duties in order to do that, including monitoring existing programs and legislation that are designed to meet the needs of the African American population. They identify and research problem areas and issues affecting the African American community, and they make recommendations to both the governor and the legislature concerning these issues. The state agency budget, if you look at this chart here, which compares the four advocacy commissions, you can see that their general fund appropriation is $139,339. They have an other funds limitation of $20,054. Both of these represent the current service level calculations for the agency. So as with the other advocacy commissions, this is a current service level budget that's being presented by the governor. I do wish to talk about the other funds limitation at this point, the $20,000. This is, and if you turn in this packet and look at the third page, which is showing the pie charts for the four advocacy commissions, you can see that this is for the Commission on Black Affairs, their 87% of their funds are general fund in the government. The other funds, the $20,000, represent 13% of their budget. And I've designated this as unfunded. The reason is the limitation is there to allow the agency to spend up to $20,000 if it is successful in raising funds from donations, from grants, or from contracts. However, there are no donations, grants, or contracts that are at this time identified or anticipated for the upcoming biennium. The commission does not have any, you know, particular fundraising drive or any ongoing contributions at this point, so the limitation remains as an incentive for them to do that. A number of things to note about this commission is, and I'm now referring back to the memo that is in the three-ring binder that's specific to the Commission on Black Affairs that I prepared for you this morning, is that under audit and interim reports, the Audits Division of the Secretary of State is preparing a change of director audit. The change of director audit is a routine audit in the sense that the statute requires the Secretary of State to audit every state agency whenever the executive director departs, in order to make sure that at the departure there are no unresolved issues that need to be looked into. The previous executive director of this commission resigned in April, and the commission's executive director position has been vacant for a period of 9 months, which is quite a period of time. You will be hearing from the new executive director, Mr. Rice, who has been with the commission now for approximately 1 month. But there was a 9-month period without an executive director. Just as a point of mentioning, the other two commissions that you've had already the Commission for Women and the Commission for Hispanic Affairs also have had changes of directors. The Secretary of State did not prepare a report for the Commission for Women, and the reason is that they didn't know that there was a change in the director position. There's not a good mechanism, apparently, for letting the Secretary of State's Audits Division know when there's a change of director, and they've been, frankly, looking in the newspaper and stuff, and for a commission of that size, it's very often not reported. This, I think, is something that we're hopefully is being addressed, and the Secretary of State has said that DAS has agreed to inform them whenever there's a change of director. Frankly, LFO doesn't know when there's a change of director either, unless we hear from DAS. So we're hopeful that these types of situations will not occur in the future where there's not an audit done simply because no one ever told the Secretary of State that there was a change. But in this particular case, the Secretary of State is aware of the change, and they are doing that audit. The results of that audit are not yet available. If I could turn to the second page of the memo that I've prepared, significant policy or oversight issues considered by the Emergency Board. This commission did come to the Emergency Board in October of 99, that was very shortly after the end of the 99 session, and received an increase, an other funds limitation increase of $20,000 because the commission had been awarded a grant to sponsor an exhibit on the Buffalo Soldiers. The Buffalo Soldiers were U.S. Army regiments, African-American U.S. Army regiments that served in the West after the Civil War, and they received a grant from the Meyer Memorial Trust to sponsor an exhibit. And they needed additional limitation to sponsor this exhibit because there were costs involved. So the Emergency Board did approve that. Under other relevant issues, just to again state the governor's recommended budget funds the general fund portion of this budget at the current service level. And as is typically the case, you know, for the advocacy commissions, the general fund is designed to support the costs of the personal services of the executive director. That's the major expenses, and to pay for state government service charges and service and supplies expenses. Even though this particular budget from the governor is at the current service level, there are no funds in it for services and supplies beyond the state government service charges. And obvious questions, well, why? What's going on here? As you may recall, I mentioned that last session, the four commissions were funded equally. It turned out that the executive director position for the Commission for Black Affairs was at the top step of the range, and the other commissions had their executive directors being paid at lower rates. When all commissions received an equal level of funding, the personal services costs for this commission basically ate up the full amount, and there wasn't funding available for services and supplies. And then in the current, you know, the budget development process, you sort of take what was available for services and supplies last time and you allow an inflationary increase. Well, when you added inflation to essentially nothing, there's still nothing there. So the budget is sort of out of whack in that there aren't any funds for services and supplies. However, there's more money in here for personal services than is needed because the personal services are funded at the top step. The executive director who resigned after that PIX freeze date we were talking about, and he was at the top step. The new and they've just hired someone new. So the fact that they're funding it for someone at the top step and they've hired someone new, there's some extra money in there for personal services.
And is the Does Mr. Rice start at the top step, even though he's new?
He did not start at the top step. Okay. You had asked Linda Ames for some information on that, and she said that she was able to get some of that, and we'll have it, but wasn't able to put it together in a memo, and that'll be available tomorrow. Talking a bit about fundraising, the commission has historically not been very successful in raising funds. It only raised $297 during the entire 97-99 biennium. During the current biennium, they were more successful because they received this $32,000 grant to sponsor the Buffalo Soldiers exhibit. That was a one-time grant, though, and that grant is not expected to be renewed. So, again, the commission is looking at a situation where they don't have any identified other funds, funding sources.
Thank you. Steve, any questions? Linda, I hope you're not going to a great deal of work what I requested. I just wanted to know at what step these commissions hire folks at. When you come up today, we'll discuss that. Representative Hayden.
Mr. Administrator, just a question on semantics and definitions that I should know the answer, but I don't. In discussing the constituency of the Commission on Asian Affairs, we discussed the fact that it served a number of constituents, including Chinese, Japanese, Fiji, Borneo, you know. And the question there was, you know, how do you work across all these national boundaries? This is the Commission on Black Affairs, but you use the term Black and African American interchangeably through your notes. Is there a difference? What constituency does this commission serve?
Statutorily, the term that is used in statute is Black. So the statute refers to monitoring legislation, et cetera, as it affects the Black population. I was using the term African American simply because it's a term that's in many cases more commonly used, but the statute is definitely does not have the term African American in it. It just has the term Black.
Well, would the commission then, does the term Black, is that a population group or who?
There's no definition actually in statute of, you know, Blacks. So presumably this would mean Blacks as defined by the U.S. Census, which would be people who are residing and are of Black racial origins and would not necessarily would be those that population.
Sort of the self-definition then probably. Well, would we have some overlap between the Asian Commission as it gets down into the Solomon Islands and the Black Commission in America then?
Potentially that should not be a situation because, of course, there are people of mixed race who are perhaps, you know, both the Commission on Black Affairs and the and some other commission would be interested in their welfare, and that would be part of their charge. But the way that the census defines populations, they ask you to identify yourself within a racial group, and then whether or not you are Hispanic. Now the Hispanics is not considered a racial group. So there are Black Hispanics, there are presumably Asian, some Asian Hispanics, and in those cases there can clearly be, and you know, there can clearly be a homeless.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you,
okay.
Steve.
Okay, Steve, that's the end of your report. Any other questions, Senator Dukes? Okay, Mr. Thompson, if you'd come forward and identify yourself and for the record. Oh, are we not going
Mr.
yet?
Thompson isn't here, so
oh.
We're...
Oh, he isn't. Okay.
We were expecting
then
him.
How about Mr. Rice? Okay. Mr. Thompson's the first on my list, and I thought that's who I was calling for.
Good morning.
Good morning. If you'll introduce yourself for the record and set the record straight, since I'm going to boost it up.
Yeah, good morning, first of all. My name is Everett A. L. Rice. I'm the new Executive Director of the Oregon Commission on Black Affairs. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Did anyone explain the pig to you?
No. I have been wondering.
Mr. Representative Butler's creation, and if you use a lot of acronyms, what do you get, two free?
You get two free if you tell us what they are.
So if you don't, then you have to pay a quarter. So just so you'll know, and that it's for a very good cause, and it goes to the American Cancer Society. Go ahead, please.
First of all, it's a pleasure to be with you this morning, and I'll be reading from my prepared statements concerning the Oregon Commission on Black Affairs. The Oregon Commission on Black Affairs was created in 1980 to ensure that a historically small and discriminated against group of citizens sufficiently were able to advise the governor of Oregon and the General Assembly on how laws, public policies, directives, initiatives, programs, and program development affect the everyday lives of black and African-American families in the state of Oregon.
Excuse me, we're trying to find your...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Your
it should actually be in the bottom of the pile of material.
Sorry to interrupt you. I'm going to be sure everybody's on the same page you are.
Yes, okay. Starting at the second paragraph there. Oregon's black and African-American population is 61,000. And Representative Hayden, you mentioned the differentiation between black and African-American populations. In doing my job, I've already met in just a month that I've been with the commission. Questions about that very fact, and we hope to represent all people of the black populations that live in Oregon, whether it may be of the Caribbean population, and it's very interesting because I'm the product of a Jamaican father and a mother from Arkansas, so I understand the differences that can run. There are parts of me that love my Southern heritage, and there are parts of me that love my Jamaican heritage also, so it you do run into some very interesting things.
Madam Chair. I think my question was driven by the fact that you have very limited resources here, and who will you serve with those resources? I'm sure you use them wisely in any case.
We will attempt to use them wisely, and we will serve as large a population as possible, and we're going to be working for the interests of all the blacks of Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to throw that in, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, while this is a statistically small number, former governor, I tell you, and I think you can tell that I'm not a native Oregonian, as we misspelled the governor's last name, so forgive me on that, saw the importance of making sure that this group of citizens' voices were heard in the governor's office and in the General Legislative Assembly. The mission of the Commission on Black Affairs as a public policy research and planning agency is to assist the legislature and agencies of Oregon in delivering services to its citizens of black and African-American descent. We work, and I want to emphasize the word work, to be a change agent in the identification of problems, and we work closely with service providers, community members, and other stakeholders in identifying needs in the black and African-American community. We also work with agencies, public and private, and organizations to assist in developing and increasing the capacity to meet the needs of our constituents. The Oregon Commission on Black Affairs is authorized under Oregon Revised Statutes 185.410 to work for the implementation and establishment of economic, social, legal, and political equality for blacks and African Americans in Oregon. And we have a copy of that policy listed in our presentation. I know that you legislators are familiar with that policy. Reading on, funding restraints and personnel issues curtailed our efforts to be as effective as we desired. Because of personnel issues, the commission was without an executive director for many months, 9 months to be exact. To save funds and to correct deficiencies as regards responding to correspondence and invoices, the OCBA, the Commission on Black Affairs, that's one, employed two administrative assistants on a half-time basis during the time period we were without an executive director. Correspondence was answered in a timely manner, and overdue invoices have and are being taken care of. During this time, we were able to approve a viable work plan for 2001 and save enough funds to hire a full-time executive director for the rest of the biennium. The work plan for 2001 deals with many important aspects where the Commission on Black Affairs desires to make a difference. In reviewing the work plan, the Commission has agreed that the Commission on Black Affairs will, A, impact public policy in ways that improve the quality of life for black Americans, B, liaison with other like-minded groups and organizations dedicated to equality and advocacy, C, fundraising to increase and be more effective at our outreach and program development, D, advocacy, developing and sponsoring ongoing advocacy programming that revolves around the work plan approved by the OCBA, E, collaborate with other advocacy commissions and sponsor public hearings for state agencies, aiding them in their affirmative action and diversity goals mandated by state law, F, research and identifying of specific economic development, education, and health issues affecting our constituency. G, consider other recommendations that were brought forward by commissioners and the public at large, being flexible. Despite not being as effective and as active as we had desired, we have been able to serve the state of Oregon, blacks and African Americans, and as a result, all Oregonians, while addressing Oregon benchmarks. For instance, under health care, infant mortality, health insurance, and teenage pregnancy, the Commission on Black Affairs Executive Director serves as a committee member, an advisor, a consultant, and a speaker on various health issues with the Oregon Department of Human Services, the Office of Multicultural Health, and the Governor's Racial and Ethnic Health Task Force, the State Suicide Awareness Network, the Center for Child and Family Health, the Women's Reproductive Health of the Oregon Health Division, the African American AIDS Vigil, the HIV STD TB section of the Health Division, the African American Health Coalition based in Portland, Oregon, the Office of Medical Assistance Programs, which is a division of the Department of Human Services, the Department of Human Services, their annual diversity conference, the African American Diabetes Committee of the American Diabetes Association, and the outcomes that we've been working for to improve health care access and health for all Oregonians of black and African American heritage. In the representation of African Americans in juvenile and adult corrections, the executive director is involved in activities to reduce violence, black-on-black crime, and gun violence. Is a member and advising member of Parents of Murdered Victims and the Emanuel Community Services Anti-Gang Services operation that operates out of Portland, Oregon. And I do plan to, in the future, having been on the job only 1 month, I'm still interacting with different organizations to increase our participation in this area. Our outcomes we're working on is to reduce crime in our constituents' communities, to set positive role models for youth, mentoring of youth, and families. Under crime, family, youth, unemployment, and social survival, which is a large category, we're working very closely with religious and faith advocacy groups, working closely with the Albina Ministerial Alliance, a ministerial alliance based out of Portland, Oregon, the Coalition of Black Ministers, which is based out of Portland, Oregon, the Ecumenical Ministers Association, Ministries Association, the NAACP in Portland and Salem, the Portland Urban League, the Greater Portland Chapter of Blacks in Government, the Census 2000 Accurate Count Committee, the Portland Community College Skills Centers based in Portland, and the One Stop Career Centers also based in Portland. The outcomes that we're working for: to increase participation of faith-based and advocacy groups in recommendations to the Governor's Office and Legislative Assembly, breaking the cycle of abuse, of crime, of youth in our communities committing crime, increase our work on problems which affect communities directly, working to increase accurate census counts in communities of color neighborhoods, and working closely with faith-based communities to help solve the problems of, in the social as well as the political arena, and working to improve employment opportunities in African-American and other communities of color. Ladies and gentlemen of the Ways and Means Committee, I want to thank you for this opportunity of appearing before you today. I want to add something to my presentation this morning. Today is my birthday. I turned 47 years of age. And it's also the birthday of my son. He would have turned 26. On September the 17th of last year, my son was killed. He was killed in a tragic accident. I enjoy my job very much. I'm very dedicated to this job because my son died as a result of another young man being under the influence of alcohol. What made this a double tragedy was the fact that that other young man happened to be my nephew. So the work of the Commission on Black Affairs, I want to make sure that no other family has to go through the tragedy that we went through. We're still going every day at a time. I miss my son, and we share the same birthday, and he's with me in spirit today. But what I wanted to express to you is that I'm dedicated to working on all the issues that affect black and African-American Oregonians. I realize that as we work on these issues, that we're working for the betterment of all Oregonians. And I had the privilege of working with a wonderful group of commissioners who are very dedicated to making the commission the best it can be. While there have been some problems in the past, we are working to improve whatever those problems have been and to work for the greater interests of the entire state of Oregon. We look forward to working cooperatively and in a collaborative manner with our colleagues in the commissions on Women's Affairs, Hispanic Affairs, Native American Affairs, and Asian Affairs. We have public hearings on the drawing board for later this spring. We'll be inviting state agencies in to interview them on their successes and challenges they have faced in reaching the state of Oregon diversity and affirmative action goals as outlined in state law. Our goal as commissions will be to aid the state agencies in reaching these affirmative action goals. While there is much to do in achieving the mission of the Commission on Black Affairs, I look forward to working on the many issues we face as a commission, as a state, and as citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a calendar over my desk at the OCBA, I think I will quote it, that highlights how I try to live each day and how I try to come to work each day. The quote I look at each morning is this: the ultimate measure of a man or woman is not where he or she stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he or she stands in times of challenge and controversy. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in times of challenge and controversy, budget-wise, social-wise, and family-wise. These words from Martin Luther King Jr. stir me every day. They inspire me to do my best each and every day, and I'm honored to serve the great state of Oregon and its people. I look forward to working with each and every one of you as we strive to make life better for all Oregonians. That concludes my statement.
Thank you, Mr. Rice. Any questions? Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Nice of you to share your birthday with us. Can you tell me, I haven't yet seen a list of the commissioners. Can you tell me who the commissioners are?
I think I left the actual list. You have to forgive me this morning. I'm a little nervous. I actually left the list of our commissioners in my car this morning, but I will be glad to get that to you. But we do have a wonderful group of, and I apologize for not having it with me, we have a wonderful group of commissioners who are very dedicated and who are very community-oriented people. And we're developing good relationships with them to work on the various issues, whether those issues are here in Salem, Eugene, or in Portland.
Well, we recognize you've only been on the job 1 month, or otherwise there'd probably be a tremendous amount of questions we would like to know, but I'm sure some of those are going to pop up. But don't be nervous. We don't bite. Representative Butler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This may go, this question may be directed to Mr. Rice and in part to staff, because it deals with the rather tenuous fiscal circumstances that you're under here, raising basically from the general fund $139,339, and then the remaining portion of your budget, which basically is to be through grants or through other income streams that would be available to the commission. As I look at the budget, the personal services portion of the budget, including all of the personal service overhead, totals $127,366. And recognizing that we've got $139,000 in general funds, that gives me, quote unquote, at that point, at that instant in time, $11,973 in freeboard. Now, this is on page three at the very, very end of the binder, page three of a whole bunch of pages there. So I've got $11,973 of freeboard. However, at the top of page four, we've got the government service charge for the Department of Administrative Service, which is in excess of $15,000, and that's basically computed on the full $159,393 of budget that we've got projected, I'm sure. But the difficulty is that if you don't, as I see it, and perhaps again, maybe staff from Legislative Fiscal or the Department of Administrative Services could respond to this, but the difficult portion that I see is that at that point, any of the services and supplies, plus the office rent and office expense and telecommunications, all would be coming from basically contributions at that particular point. And if you have another contribution, which is basically to run an exhibit or to do something of that nature, that doesn't pay the rent. And I would like to have, and again, Mr. Rice, recognizing that Director Rice is your new in the position,
I'm not necessarily eliciting from you a complete financial analysis of what's going to happen in the commission, but I want to know what this is going to look like under a worst-case scenario if we don't have, if we're paying a director and the director's overhead, and we're faced with a monthly overhead of something over the biennium of about $1,300 a month of regular overhead, including the government service charge. So I need to have a response to that.
Linda, do you want to go ahead and respond?
Did I just babble on like a total idiot?
No.
Is that okay? I wanted to make sure that the question came out.
But Linda's going to tell you whether or not she.
Okay, here's the response to babble.
Representative Butler, I'm Linda Ames with Department of Administrative Services. I think that you are interpreting the budget correctly. They have basically no services and supplies that are flexible in their general fund. And that's been the case for 2 years, basically. The way that they are paying for the services they need is that they are getting, they have found office space where they don't pay rent. I mean, they basically don't have, they have found ways to eliminate office expenses, essentially.
That's my kind of director.
By getting donations for those kinds of things. I would agree with you that it is not necessarily the ideal situation. And I think it is also the trade-off that you have when you flat fund all the commissions at a very modest level, is if a commission chooses to pay that to salary, they end up with not enough money for other things that are probably essential.
And how about the telephone? Is it also a donated item? I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
And Mr. Rice is nodding his head, yes?
Yes, that's correct. Okay.
How does that compare to the way we run our legislative offices? Don't we have about $1,000 a month in expense money to run their offices, it seems to me?
But that's a different department than what Linda does.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure, but even the other advocacy commissions, which I know a little more detail on, I'm trying to think, do they all pay some rent? Hispanic Commission did have free rent sometime, but there were some real issues around the place they were at, and they eventually did move to a place where they... So all the others do have some small office expenses. They tend to raise donations to cover part of that, but they have that buffer with a little bit of general fund to cover some of that.
I'll go back to you, Mr. Rice. The current commissioners that are there, I realize they operated for 9 months without a director, but are they working with you to get you up to speed about the lack of, in the past, of not having any grants or fundraising or anything?
Yes, ma'am. We're working very closely together in a very collaborative way. Fundraising is one of our goals. I am in the process of searching for different avenues and different funding streams. I come from a background of working public broadcasting for many years, so we creatively I know how to look for funds.
Is Bernie Foster from the scanner on your board?
No, ma'am, he's not.
I think he's an excellent resource to the black community. I would suggest Senator Carter and Senator Gordon know him very well, and I would suggest that I've met him, and I think he's a very good spokesman for the black community, and I really encourage you to get a hold of him. But I realize that I don't know how long you've lived in Oregon yet, probably don't know all the players.
Well, I've been here long enough, I do know Mr. Foster very well.
Okay.
And I'm working very closely with him.
You tell him I recommended him highly.
I certainly will.
Other questions? Yes, Senator Dukes.
You may not be able to answer this, given your short tenure with the group, but at some point, maybe one of your board members or somebody could come with this. I was looking at your mandate from the statute, and it's pretty impressive, and I'm just curious as to what work the commission's done in the last couple of years that fits with this implementation and establishment of economic, social, legal, and political equality for blacks and African Americans in Oregon.
Lots of work. Concrete-wise, we're still in the process. It's kind of a rebuilding time period for the commission. There are so many wonderful things in our work plan. Highlights a lot of the things that we're going to be working on, and then you have, as I mentioned earlier, we have an excellent group of commissioners who are ready to roll up their sleeves and get to work in the communities. And I can't speak about the past that much, but I know that we're determined to make a difference in the future. And we're going to be working closely with communities here in Salem, in Salem and in the city of Portland. And I hope that answers that, your question.
It does. But realistically, it probably wouldn't hurt if some of your commissioners would make the trip to the Capitol. And it's, times are tough.
And one other thing I might suggest, I just noticed that the director of the Commission on Women is in the room. Mm-hmm. And she, too, has taken over not too awful long ago. And I get a little troubled about how these commissions seem to lose their director. And I think... we heard the other day that lots of times they gain the experience and then they get offered other jobs, and we hope you'll stay and get this commission turned around. But I would suggest that you speak with the director for the Commission on Women, because she's done an excellent job in doing what we need to do in our responsibility to the taxpayers, and that is to give a helping hand to these commissions, to give them an opportunity to reach their communities and really be helpful. And you know, the more people contribute in fundraising events or participate in events, that they become a part of that, the more they're connected to the community. And I think that's really important to have. It's great to get grants. I think grants are wonderful. But the more we do in our communities to connect people, the more we find out the needs they have and the more we can meet those needs. So I hope you'll use her advice as well. She's done a great job.
I may mention, Senator, if I may be allowed to mention, we have been working with Ms. Farrington, who is the executive director. She was very helpful when I first came on board with the Commission on Black Affairs, and she's been very helpful in helping me get acclimated to the job. And we're developing a relationship with all the commissions. One of the things that we have on our work plan is to work collaboratively with all the commissions on issues that are of importance to all of us. And we want to make a difference in that way also. I think you'll be seeing more of the commissions working together in a collaborative manner.
And I don't, I would like to see in the future that you would be able to get enough grants and raise enough money that you can go to all parts of the state as a group, because in every community there's some folks of every one of our commissions. And if you were to offer things that for all those, they could all come together and then they can be part of the community as well. Kind of getting everybody acquainted is a good idea. In our small communities, that happens a lot. And I know it's harder in the big communities. Hopefully, you'll be able to do that someday. Are there any other questions? If not, Linda, would you like to go ahead with your presentation?
Madam Chair, Linda Ames, with the Department of Administrative Services. I'm going to go through this in a document. He has pretty much told you everything that's in here. Pretty simple budget, but I'll go ahead and, you know, sometimes a couple things may become clearer. Page 2, as Steve mentioned, the governor's recommended budget for general funds is $139,000, 8% over the current biennium. Other funds is about $20,000, and that decline from 9901 is really a result of the one-time grant in 9901 that we took back out of the current service level, and the one director. Page 3, the agency, 87% general fund. And as Steve mentioned, on page 4, the general fund at current service level pays the full cost of the director, actually of the past director, and the budget is for the full cost of his top step position, and very limited office expenses in that it really is just state government service charge.
really all that's left is just the state after the director's fee is paid with the overhead is just the state service charge primarily.
Representative Butler, no, that is literally correct.
Senator Dukes.
Other than helping them prepare this budget, exactly what do they get for their state service charge?
Oh, let me look at my. There's about 20 state service charges. The biggest ones is for accounting services, actually paying their bills and. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that particular service charge, I mean, they sign up. It's a charge for service. It's not actually an assessment. So they do have an accounting at the accountant. That is about half of the state government service charge. The budget management charge, they pay for a fair amount of that charge is paying now for the new budget system, the debt service on that. Now that is considerably below what we charge the larger agencies, but that's the one that as of last session was decreased to a flat 2,500, and that has stayed at 2,500.
For each of the commissions?
Yeah, I think there's about 12 very small agencies where the budget management assessment was reduced. It's about at 30% of what it would be if you can.
In other words, other agencies are charged a percentage of their total budget for these services. The smaller agencies are charged a flat 25%.
I believe the bigger agencies, I believe that assessment is based both on numbers of full-time equivalents and on the dollar amount of their budget for the bigger agencies. And then there's a whole variety of smaller assessments for insurance, for liability, risk, state library, Supreme Court library, maintenance at the state grounds. A lot of these for these very small agencies tends to be $10 or $15, but nonetheless, it does add up to be a
Marima paper.
What was that?
Buy Marima paper or some pencils. I mean,
yes.
Representative Butler.
Thank you very much. That's a Senator Duke's question gives me a segue with the response from Linda, and that is in Director Rice's testimony, he talks about. Correspondence was answered timely in a timely manner, and the overdue invoices have and are being taken care of. Are they signed up for the check paying, and are there some overdue bills that are arriving to the Commission on Black Affairs?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, generally the part-time, they had two college students come in part-time that did a really good job in the interim, and generally that kind of office stuff was taken care of very well. We did discover a couple of administrative services bills that had somehow been missed, and that may have been a change in mailing address rather than somebody not actually paying the bill. The Department of Administrative Services pays the bills, but the bills need to get submitted to them, and I think that may have been what didn't happen. Actually, for not having a director for 9 months, this agency did a fabulous job of keeping on top of the day-to-day work and getting that stuff processed.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, may I address part of that?
Certainly.
I can attest to the fact that due to mix-up on addresses, a lot of the invoices that we're speaking about were routed to the wrong agency, and they literally sat on homeless desks for months before people knew where they went to. We have our new address at 2575 Center Street in the Department of Corrections, and for some reason, a lot of our invoices went to Portland State University, and that's one of the reasons why some of the invoices were passed through.
And they sat on somebody's desk. It seems so ridiculous. Makes your troubles worse. Representative Hayden.
Madam Chair, I have a question
not for the director, but for the committee, as we reviewed the budgets of these four advocacy commissions, I'm struck by the fact that they have trouble raising money for their own constituencies, which leads to the possible conclusion that those constituencies don't value the services. Now, let me continue to what the reporters will often say to us as legislators running for office: have you raised a lot of money from the people? You have a lot of $5 and $10 contributions. And if not, why not? Don't you have grassroots support? So my question is, these advocacy commissions don't seem to have grassroots support. They should be able to raise $1, $2, $5, you know, from the men. Not big, we're talking, not talking big grants here, you know. Do we have any concept why this isn't happening? And what is the value of these commissions to their respective constituencies, women, Asian, Hispanic, Black?
Well, I think we heard from the Women's Commission that they have organized an annual fundraiser, and I think just from what I've heard, and we haven't heard the Hispanic Commission yet, but it just seems to me like number one problem is change of directors, and number two is just absolutely not somehow getting it organized and pulled together.
Well,
Representative Gardner.
Actually, Madam Chair, I mean, I think we all know from our own experiences that it takes a great deal of time to do a lot of fundraising, and the question is whether one spends their time accomplishing the goals and missions of the agency or spending the time fundraising. If you spent a tremendous amount of time fundraising, you would not be accomplishing the goals of the commission, and then it doesn't matter how much money you raise if you're not accomplishing that goal. So it's a matter of an allocation of time. And as we all also know, it takes a tremendous amount of money to raise money. You have to, you know, if you're going to raise it from a constituency group, you have to do a large mailing, which costs your postage, it costs your letterhead, it costs your envelopes, and it also costs you a lot of time, and mostly in follow-up phone calls to it as well. I mean, from a personal standpoint, I'd much rather see them accomplish the goals of the commission than spend as much time concentrating on fundraising.
And I agree with you, Representative Gardner. I just was, I don't remember if you were here yesterday when we had the Asian Commission talking about their OLCC classes.
Wrong, yeah.
And the giving to the Korean community the training so that they could avoid the kinds of problems they were getting in with OLCC. And they said that training was free. And I understand how they're trying to provide a service without charging, and yet if it's going to keep you from getting your license in trouble if you're a store owner or operator, I'm going to be willing to pay at least $5 to come to that training, I should think. So I think there's a lot of services. I admire the services they're giving to the Korean community, but I still think that they could have charged something. There must have been a place they had to hold that training that might have cost some money or something. So I think there can be a mix. It's just difficult to make that mix work of services and fundraising.
Madam Chair, you'll remember along that line that one of the witnesses that spoke responded to this question in this way. He said, our commissions are like children. And he said, I don't expect my children to work. I support my children. They will work sometime, but now they can't work. So that was his response, is that his commission, that commission, the Asian Commission, should be funded so that they can learn to work. And then at some future time, they would be more independent, I guess.
Well, I hope that the Women's Commission has set a good example. I think they've probably been I would say, from what I have known of some of the commission directors, seen a little more opportunity to know that they had better get on the stick and make some things out there that help women address health issues and whatnot, but also in conjunction with fundraising. And I think they've had a better opportunity maybe to do that, but certainly can maybe give some leadership to these other commissions. Not that they will have all the time, but certainly their example will be a good opportunity to follow.
Madam Chair, what I saw with the Women's Commission was a commission that identified a lot of needs for their constituency, and they sure as heck weren't going to pay for it out of the budget we were giving them.
No.
So they determined that the way to accomplish those things was to go out and raise the money. That wasn't there yesterday.
No.
And I guess that's what I'm looking for. If your goals are to achieve things and live within the budget we're giving you, then I think there's a serious question about whether you're accomplishing very much. But if you have a commission that has goals that are beyond that, and they're out there trying to figure out how to meet those goals, then I think you've got a viable commission.
With all due deference to my colleague, whose opinions I really respect, and I think his points are well made, I view this more as seed money, a starting point. And I would like to see them do and raise far, far more than this budget would allow them to do. And that would entail fundraising and seeking grassroots support and grants.
Grants.
Yeah.
I have a feeling. I'm very confident with the new director only being here a month and showing up in front of the legislature and making the presentation he did that you're going to go like wildfire. Any further questions or comments? If not, thank you very much. And you survived your first opportunity. And Linda, can I wanted to talk to you about just simplifying it. I don't want a big long report, just what the current directors have been hired for this biennium that we're in.
I don't think you made any mistakes.
I wanted to give you what they're at now, when they were hired, so you would have some sense of they at a reasonable step, and then what are they budgeted at in their budget.
Okay.
I have all the pieces now, and I'll send it straight over to you.
I just think the thing that concerns me is we often ask for something, and then we don't, after we get it, we say, oh, I didn't know it was going to be this much work for you to produce, and I do not want that.
It
much
really
work.
Was that one odd situation
okay.
to come up, and then I wasn't sure how to explain it.
Okay.
And now I found it out, you know, two minutes before I came home.
That's fine. Thank you. We appreciate your efforts. Okay. Steve, do you want to talk to us about tomorrow?
Tomorrow you have the last of the four commissions, which is the Commission on Hispanic Affairs.
Okay. We'll see you tomorrow. If there's nothing further, we're adjourned, and you have a little extra time to go to your office and get some work done.
You'd better stay here and get some work done.
Yes, or stay here where nobody sees you. And you